Thank you, Brother Johnny. Good evening, everyone. It's been a while since I've been up here. But it's better than being in a hospital room or a 10-by-20 motel room. I had something a little different happened to me yesterday. I went to a consignment sale in Delta. They had something that I was interested in getting. It was a small haystacker. And I was hoping that I could pick it up for a good price and save me from bucking bales this summer. Be a little easier on me. I watched the people as we stood out in the wind and the cold rain, and how many of them were on cell phones saying, well, they got this and they got that. And I was wondering if you wanted to bid on it. And then they'd start the bidding, and some old farmer would think that he was going to pick it up at a pretty good price, and then somebody on the internet would outbid him. I'd never seen that before. Something new, I guess. They give you the right to sit in your nice office or your living room and bid on things that people are standing out in the cold and freezing half to death or trying to buy. And I'd say 40% of the stuff at the sale went to somebody on the internet. And there was over 1,000 people at that sale. I got to thinking, you know, everybody wants to spend all their time talking on the phone or communicating over the internet. What if they had spent that time communicating that much with God? Where would they be? As I go through the scriptures and read about the people that were close to God, that actually got to communicate with him on a daily basis, they had to have spent quite a bit of time in prayer and thinking on the things that God wanted so that God would communicate with them. And I'm going to start with Moses and something that he asked of the Lord. And this is going to be in Exodus 33. I'm going to read 17 through 20. And the Lord had asked, Moses had a lot of things that he did for the Lord. And Moses said, would you send thy spirit to abide with me? Because Moses didn't feel that he was strong enough to handle all the things that the Lord had asked of him. 17th verse of chapter 33 in Exodus. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. The Lord knew Moses by name, and he said, you have found grace in my sight. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. We heard that in the sermon this morning. But the brother of Jared saw the finger of God because of the faith that he had. But we see God through Christ, and we're told that God lives in our hearts. He lives within each one of us. And so in a way, we see God through the reflection of the spirit that we carry and the teachings that Christ gave to us. God spoke to Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 4. He gave him some instructions. In chapter 4, I'm going to go over to verse 29, read through 31 there. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart, with all thy soul. This morning, as Jim read in Moroni, I took off and read a little extra, and it says also there, with all thy mind and might and strength, that we should seek the Lord. When thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is the merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. The Lord stands by his promises. And he's made promises to us in the latter days, just as he made promises to Israel. And we can be counted among those people that that promise was given to. He's going to gather his people in the latter days. He's going to carry out what he has promised. David gave his son Solomon some instructions. Thought I'd mark the place, but I may have trouble finding it. It's in Deuteronomy. There we go. Deuteronomy chapter 4. No, that's the one I just read. So it's in 1 Chronicles. Let's go there and see what, yeah. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. This is David speaking to his son Solomon. Chapter 28, verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Can you imagine what it would be like to be cast off by the Lord? I can kind of imagine that happening because of personal experience. After I was baptized, I wanted to follow the church, to get to know all the people, and to attend all the reunions I could. So in the summer of 74, I went to Minnesota. Went to Missouri reunion. Went to Phoenix. Trying to get to know the people. And Satan had a good time with me. It got to the point where it was hard for me to pray. When I'd try to pray, my mind would wander. And I would fall asleep or completely lose my train of thought. And I went to Jerry Case, and I said, I got a problem. And Jerry said, you know, I've had the same thing happening to me. So I knew that it was Satan who was trying to influence us. Jerry was very busy working and going to college, and I had just finished my college and was it came to the time of desperation when I was staying with my brother Tim on the farm in Nebraska. And I was in a middle bedroom of the house. And in the middle of the night, I heard great confusion. I'd been dating Kathy. And when I was laying in my bed, I was sucked into the bed. I couldn't move. I couldn't get up to see what the confusion was. It was like furniture banging around and like spoons pounding on a table. A great tribulation in the house. And I looked up and I saw Kathy standing beside my bed. And I could tell she was in trouble. And so I tried to reach up and touch her. And I couldn't raise my arm. The harder I struggled, the more I sunk into the mattress of the bed. With a power that kept me from moving. And tried to keep me from thinking. And I remembered something that Tim had said to me, that he heard from a sermon that our brother Archie Bell gave. And he said, you can order Satan out of your house in the name of God. And when I realized what it was, I ordered him out in the name of God. Get out of this house. And immediately I felt a great peace. And I was laying there in a pool of sweat because I'd been struggling so hard. And they had a German Shepherd dog, and I heard that German Shepherd barking. And I knew that Kathy was sleeping in what used to be my parents' bedroom. And so I started to get up to check on her. And then I knew she was okay. So I just went back to bed in peace. The next morning, I got up and I went out in the living room. Of course, everything was in perfect order. I waited for my brother to come in, and I asked him, I said, did you hear any noise last night? He said, no. And so I told him what happened. And he said, you know, I had something similar happen to me. He said, when I was first married to Ruth, I was laying in bed one night, and they lived in Alvey's rental house. Jim and Bonnie Case lived there later. But they were in that house, which was right off of an alley close to the church. And he said, we always kept the doors locked and deadbolted. And he said, I heard that door open in the middle of the night. And he said, a figure walked into our bedroom and sat on the bed. And he said, I felt the bed go down. And he sat there and smirked at me. He said, I recognized who it was. And I ordered him out in the name of God. And he got up and went out. I heard the door open and close. He said, I jumped up and ran over there and tried to open that door. It was deadbolted. It was closed and locked. He said there was no doubt who it was. What he's trying to accomplish, I don't know. But he's very real. And he doesn't like it when, especially young people, it seems like, try to draw themselves closer to God. He tries to intervene. As David told Solomon, if you forsake him, he casts you out forever. Don't forsake your God, because he's the one that's more powerful than anything else. And he's the one that can save you. When you just read the words, you know that this is just part of David's speech to Solomon. But David knew the meaning behind the words. And when you live it, it becomes very real to you. Fortunately, because of the ministry, the teachings that we had, we're able to overcome. So we don't know what it's like to be forsaken by God, because God is always there. And all we have to do is ask. So how should we pray? Well, if you're watching football, you know, you get in front of the big crowds and you kneel down and you Tebow. That's the way we should do it, right? Let's see what it says in Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 13. These are the words of Christ. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that night. When Kathy got up the next morning, I said, how was your night? She said, I had a terrible nightmare. She said, I dreamed that your father came into my room, stood by my bed. And I said, my father? She said, well, it was a man. And he turned into a dark cloud of vapor and entered into me. And as much as I fought, I couldn't get him out. I said, well, it wasn't my father. And then she understood. I told her what happened. And she said, well, I was sleeping in your parents' bedroom, and that was the only thing I could think of. And I said, yeah, it's confusing. You have to have the Spirit to be with you to have a clear mind at a time like that. But when we pray to our Heavenly Father in secret, He rewards us openly. We don't have to make a big show of it. Verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, a lot of churches have this in their books, except for the last part. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen is not in their books. They don't give the credit to God. Will they be forsaken? Well, if they don't have room for God, I'm sure God's not going to make room for them. And it's a sad thing to see. We must believe when we pray. If we don't believe, then what are we praying for? I want to turn over to the book of Mark. Chapter 11. Eleventh chapter of Mark, verses 23 through 26. And these again are the words of Christ. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. We all have trespasses. Whether we want them there or not, it happens in life. So we need to forgive each other. One of the hardest things I have trouble with at times is to forgive myself. But that's something we need to do too. We need to overcome those worldly things and find that peace in our heart that only the Heavenly Father can put there. We have to believe. And we have to ask for forgiveness. And we have to forgive. Just as Christ has told us we must. If you remember when he was dying on the cross, he said, Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. I don't think any of us has anything that could even compare to what Christ had to forgive. But he did. I'm going to turn over to John, the 16th chapter. And it tells us there that Christ will pray to God for us. John 16, I'm going to read verses 22 through 27. And this was Christ speaking to his disciples. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go to the Father. The Lord sacrificed his life for us. And if you think it was easy for him, you're wrong. Even with all of his faith and with his knowledge and his wisdom, he was still flesh and blood. And it was difficult for him to go through what he knew he had to go through. But he told us that he would pray to God for us. I'm going to go back to Luke, the 22nd chapter. Luke 22, 39 through 44. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Doesn't sound like it was too easy for him, does it? I think I've mentioned before that when I had my appendix operation, it had ruptured and I had an infection. The doctor put me on some antibiotics that I had a strong reaction to. And I was laying in bed one night, and I felt that I wasn't going to make it. And so I prayed. And I told God, if this is it, that he would forgive me for anything that I had done which was against his will. And I felt a presence. And it came and sat by me in that bed and looked down at me. And I knew I was going to be okay. I knew that the Lord was going to watch over me. So I went to see the doc the next day, and I said, I can't take your medication. He said, you will take it, or you're going to be back here on the operating table. I said, let it be. And I walked out of that doctor's office, never went back. I've never been back. And I never took any more of his medication. And from that time forward, I got better. Because God was with me. And I believed it. Without a doubt. Just as it was difficult for Christ, it's difficult for each one of us sometimes. But those times make us stronger. Makes us ready to face whatever it is that the Lord has for us to face. Paul himself had what he called a thorn in the side. And he asked the Lord to remove it. We can read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. That'll be verses 7 through 10. Paul says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for thy strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Not something that's easy for us. But we weren't promised to have it easy all the time. But in our weakness, we're made strong. We have to have that hope. I'm going to go back to Romans chapter 8. And read verses 24 through 27. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We know that some of the greatest people that the Lord has used had to give their life for the purpose that God set forth before them, and they did it willingly. But they had something else besides their flesh and blood. They had that Spirit to be there with them. In verses 38 and 39 in the same chapter, it's Romans 8, Paul says, For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, not height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's something that can't be taken away. Not by anything in this world. For when we have that hope and we believe in the Lord, that's instilled within us. It's a part of us. Nothing can take it away. I'm going to go over to the Book of Mormon. Switch books on you. Go to 2 Nephi. On page 164. This is chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 12. But behold, I say unto you that ye must pray always, and not faint, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save it in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. In everything we do, we should always pray first that it would be the best thing for us. And if it's not, that we would quickly recognize that and be able to change our course. In chapter 15, the next chapter in this book of Nephi, we hear Nephi's last words. I'm going to read 3 through 16 in closing. But I, Nephi, have written what I have written, and I esteem it as of great worth, especially unto my people. For I pray continually for them by day, and mine eyes water my pillow by night because of them. And I cry unto my God in faith, and I know that he will hear my cry, and I know that the Lord God will consecrate my prayers for the gain of my people. And the words which I have written in weakness will he make strong unto them, for it persuadeth them to do good. It maketh known unto them of their fathers, and it speaketh of Jesus, and persuadeth them to believe in him, and to endure to the end, which is life eternal. And it speaketh harsh against sin according to the plainness of the truth, wherefore no man will be angry at the words which I have written, save he shall be of the spirit of the devil. I glory in plainness, I glory in truth, I glory in my Jesus, for he hath redeemed my soul from hell. I have charity for my people and great faith in Christ, that I shall meet many souls spotless at his judgment seat. I have charity for the Jew. I say Jew because I mean them from whence I came. I also have charity for the Gentiles. But behold, for none of these can I hope except they shall be reconciled unto Christ and enter into the narrow gate and walk in the straight path which leads to life and continue in the path until the end of the day of probation. And now, my beloved brethren, and also Jew, and all ye ends of the earth, hearken unto these words and believe in Christ. And if ye believe not in these words, believe in Christ. And if ye shall believe in Christ, ye will believe in these words. For they are the words of Christ, and he hath given them unto me. And they teach all men that they should do good. And if they are not the words of Christ, judge ye. For Christ will show unto you with power and great glory that they are his words at the last day. And you and I shall stand face to face before his bar, and ye shall know that I have been commanded of him to write these things, notwithstanding my weakness. And I pray the Father in the name of Christ that many of us, if not all, may be saved in his kingdom at that great and last day. And now, my beloved brethren, all those who are of the house of Israel, and all ye ends of the earth, I speak unto you as the voice of one crying from the dust, farewell until that great day shall come. We have to live our lives living in prayer. Otherwise, if we can't make time for God, why should he make time for us? He loves each one of us, and he doesn't want to lose any of us. And that's why he gave us these books, these scriptures. He had people record these things for our sake, that we would teach out of them, that we would live by them, learn by them. He taught us the importance of prayer because our cell phones just aren't going to reach far enough. We can't talk to him on the phone. We have to talk to him in our closets. We have to talk to him as we go out in the world, and then he will take it from there, and he will give us the answers to those things which we need to know. He'll give us guidance. He'll give us strength. And if we think that we're weak, it's because of that weakness that we are made strong. So we continue to live in prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Johnny. Good evening, everyone. It's been a while since I've been up here. But it's better than being in a hospital room or a 10 by 20 motel room. I had something a little different happened to me yesterday. I went to a consignment sale in Delta. They had something that I was interested in getting. It was a small haystacker. And I was hoping that I could pick it up for a good price and save me from bucking bales this summer. Be a little easier on me. I watched the people as we stood out in the wind and the cold rain, and how many of them were on cell phones saying, well, they got this and they got that. And I was wondering if you wanted to bid on it. And then they'd start the bidding, and some old farmer would think that he was going to pick it up at a pretty good price, and then somebody on the internet would help bid him. I'd never seen that before. Something new, I guess. They give you the right to sit in your nice office or your living room and bid on things that people are standing out in the cold and freezing half to death or trying to buy. And I'd say 40% of the stuff at the sale went to somebody on the internet. And there was over 1,000 people at that sale. I got to thinking, you know, everybody wants to spend all their time talking on the phone or communicating over the internet. What if they had spent that time communicating that much with God? Where would they be? As I go through the scriptures and read about the people that were close to God, that actually got to communicate with Him on a daily basis, they had to have spent quite a bit of time in prayer and thinking on the things that God wanted, so that God would communicate with them. And I'm going to start with Moses and something that he asked of the Lord. And this is going to be in Exodus 33. I'm going to read 17 through 20. And the Lord had asked, Moses had a lot of things that he did for the Lord. And Moses said, would you send thy spirit to abide with me? Because Moses didn't feel that he was strong enough to handle all the things that the Lord had asked of him. 17th verse of chapter 33 in Exodus. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. The Lord knew Moses by name, and he said, you have found grace in my sight. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. We heard that in the sermon this morning. But the brother of Jared saw the finger of God because of the faith that he had. But we see God through Christ, and we're told that God lives in our hearts. He lives within each one of us. And so in a way, we see God through the reflection of the spirit that we carry and the teachings that Christ gave to us. God spoke to Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 4. He gave him some instructions. In chapter 4, I'm going to go over to verse 29, read through 31 there. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart, with all thy soul. This morning, as Jim read in Moroni, I took off and read a little extra, and it says also there, with all thy mind and might and strength, that we should seek the Lord. When thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is the merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. The Lord stands by his promises. And he's made promises to us in the latter days, just as he made promises to Israel. And we can be counted among those people that that promise was given to. He's going to gather his people in the latter days. He's going to carry out what he has promised. David gave his son Solomon some instructions. Thought I'd mark the place, but I may have trouble finding it. It's in Deuteronomy. There we go. Deuteronomy chapter 4. No, that's the one I just read. So it's in 1 Chronicles. Let's go there and see what, yeah. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. This is David speaking to his son Solomon. Chapter 28, verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Can you imagine what it would be like to be cast off by the Lord? I can kind of imagine that happening because of personal experience. After I was baptized, I wanted to follow the church, to get to know all the people, and to attend all the reunions I could. So in the summer of 74, I went to Minnesota. Went to Missouri reunion. Went to Phoenix. Trying to get to know the people. And Satan had a good time with me. It got to the point where it was hard for me to pray. When I'd try to pray, my mind would wander. And I would fall asleep or completely lose my train of thought. And I went to Jerry Case, and I said, I got a problem. And Jerry said, you know, I've had the same thing happening to me. So I knew that it was Satan who was trying to influence us. Jerry was very busy working and going to college, and I had just finished my college and was just taking a break for the summer because I knew I was going to have to get a job and start earning money again. And Satan didn't want me to get to know the church. He didn't want me to get close. It came to the time of desperation when I was staying with my brother Tim on the farm in Nebraska. And I was in a middle bedroom of the house. And in the middle of the night, I heard great confusion. I'd been dating Kathy. And when I was laying in my bed, I was sucked into the bed. I couldn't move. I couldn't get up to see what the confusion was. It was like furniture banging around and like spoons pounding on a table. A great tribulation in the house. And I looked up and I saw Kathy standing beside my bed. And I could tell she was in trouble. And so I tried to reach up and touch her. And I couldn't raise my arm. The harder I struggled, the more I sunk into the mattress of the bed. With a power that kept me from moving. And tried to keep me from thinking. And I remembered something that Tim had said to me that he heard from a sermon that our brother Archie Bell gave. And he said, you can order Satan out of your house in the name of God. And when I realized what it was, I ordered him out in the name of God. Get out of this house. And immediately I felt a great peace. And I was laying there in a pool of sweat because I'd been struggling so hard. And they had a German Shepherd dog, and I heard that German Shepherd barking. And I knew that Kathy was sleeping in what used to be my parents' bedroom. And so I started to get up to check on her. And then I knew she was okay. So I just went back to bed in peace. The next morning, I got up and I went out in the living room. Of course, everything was in perfect order. I waited for my brother to come in, and I asked him, I said, did you hear any noise last night? He said, no. And so I told him what happened. And he said, you know, I had something similar happen to me. He said, when I was first married to Ruth, I was laying in bed one night, and they lived in Alvey's rental house. Jim and Bonnie Case lived there later. But they were in that house, which was right off of an alley close to the church. And he said, we always kept the doors locked and deadbolted. And he said, I heard that door open in the middle of the night. And he said, a figure walked into our bedroom and sat on the bed. And he said, I felt the bed go down. And he sat there and smirked at me. He said, I recognized who it was. And I ordered him out in the name of God. And he got up and went out. I heard the door open and close. He said, I jumped up and ran over there and tried to open that door. It was deadbolted. It was closed and locked. He said, there was no doubt who it was. What he's trying to accomplish, I don't know. But he's very real. And he doesn't like it when, especially young people, it seems like, try to draw themselves closer to God. He tries to intervene. As David told Solomon, if you forsake him, he cast you out forever. Don't forsake your God, because he's the one that's more powerful than anything else. And he's the one that can save you. When you just read the words, you know that this is just part of David's speech to Solomon. But David knew the meaning behind the words. And when you live it, it becomes very real to you. Fortunately, because of the ministry, the teachings that we had, we're able to overcome. So we don't know what it's like to be forsaken by God, because God is always there. And all we have to do is ask. So how should we pray? Well, if you're watching football, you know that you get in front of the big crowds and you kneel down and you Tebow. That's the way we should do it, right? Let's see what it says in Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 13. These are the words of Christ. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that night. When Kathy got up the next morning, I said, how was your night? She said, I had a terrible nightmare. She said, I dreamed that your father came into my room, stood by my bed. And I said, my father? She said, well, it was a man. And he turned into a dark cloud of vapor and entered into me. And as much as I fought, I couldn't get him out. I said, well, it wasn't my father. And then she understood I told her what happened. And she said, well, I was sleeping in your parents' bedroom, and that was the only thing I could think of. And I said, yeah, it's confusing. You have to have the Spirit to be with you to have a clear mind at a time like that. But when we pray to our Heavenly Father in secret, He rewards us openly. We don't have to make a big show of it. Verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, a lot of churches have this in their books, except for the last part. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen is not in their books. They don't give the credit to God. Will they be forsaken? Well, if they don't have room for God, I'm sure God's not going to make room for them. And that's a sad thing to see. We must believe when we pray. If we don't believe, then what are we praying for? I want to turn over to the book of Mark. Chapter 11. Eleventh chapter of Mark, verses 23 through 26. And these again are the words of Christ. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. We all have trespasses. Whether we want them there or not, it happens in life. So we need to forgive each other. One of the hardest things I have trouble with at times is to forgive myself. But that's something we need to do too. We need to overcome those worldly things and find that peace in our heart that only the Heavenly Father can put there. We have to believe. And we have to ask for forgiveness and we have to forgive. Just as Christ has told us, we must. If you remember when he was dying on the cross, he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." I don't think any of us has anything that can even compare to what Christ had to forgive. But he did. I'm going to turn over to John, the 16th chapter. And it tells us there that Christ will pray to God for us. John 16, I'm going to read verses 22 through 27. And this was Christ speaking to his disciples. "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go to the Father." The Lord sacrificed his life for us. And if you think it was easy for him, you're wrong. Even with all of his faith and with his knowledge and his wisdom, he was still flesh and blood. And it was difficult for him to go through what he knew he had to go through. But he told us that he would pray to God for us. I'm going to go back to Luke, the 22nd chapter. Luke 22, 39 through 44. "And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Doesn't sound like it was too easy for him, does it? I think I've mentioned before that when I had my appendix operation, it had ruptured and I had an infection. The doctor put me on some antibiotics that I had a strong reaction to. And I was laying in bed one night and I felt that I wasn't going to make it. And so I prayed. And I told God, if this is it, that He would forgive me for anything that I had done, which was against His will. And I felt a presence. And it came and sat by me in that bed and looked down at me. And I knew I was going to be okay. I knew that the Lord was going to watch over me. So I went to see the doc the next day and I said, I can't take your medication. He said, you will take it, or you're going to be back here on the operating table. I said, let it be. And I walked out of that doctor's office, never went back. I've never been back. And I never took any more of his medication. And from that time forward, I got better. Because God was with me. And I believed it. Without a doubt. Just as it was difficult for Christ, it's difficult for each one of us sometimes. But those times make us stronger. Makes us ready to face whatever it is that the Lord has for us to face. Paul himself had what he called a thorn in the side. And he asked the Lord to remove it. We can read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. That'll be verses 7 through 10. Paul says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For thy strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Not something that's easy for us. But we weren't promised to have it easy all the time. But in our weakness, we're made strong. We have to have that hope. I'm going to go back to Romans chapter 8. And read verses 24 through 27. For For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We know that some of the greatest people that the Lord has used had to give their life for the purpose that God set forth before them, and they did it willingly. But they had something else besides their flesh and blood. They had that Spirit to be there with them. In verses 38 and 39 in the same chapter, it's Romans 8. Paul says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, not height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ our Lord." That's something that can't be taken away. Not by anything in this world. For when we have that hope and we believe in the Lord, that's instilled within us. It's a part of us. Nothing can take it away. I'm going to go over to the Book of Mormon. Switch books on you. Go to 2 Nephi. On page 164. This is chapter 15. No, 14. Chapter 14, verse 12. "But behold, I say unto you that ye must pray always, and not faint, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save it in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul." In everything we do, we should always pray first that it would be the best thing for us. And if it's not, that we would quickly recognize that and be able to change our course. In chapter 15, the next chapter in this book of Nephi, we hear Nephi's last words. I'm going to read 3 through 16 in closing. "But I, Nephi, have written what I have written, and I esteem it as of great worth, especially unto my people. For I pray continually for them by day, and mine eyes water my pillow by night, because of them. And I cry unto my God in faith, and I know that he will hear my cry, and I know that the Lord God will consecrate my prayers for the gain of my people. And the words which I have written in weakness will he make strong unto them, for it persuadeth them to do good. It maketh known unto them of their fathers, and it speaketh of Jesus, and persuadeth them to believe in him, and to endure to the end, which is life eternal. And it speaketh harsh against sin according to the plainness of the truth, wherefore no man will be angry at the words which I have written, save he shall be of the spirit of the devil. I glory in plainness, I glory in truth, I glory in my Jesus, for he hath redeemed my soul from hell. I have charity for my people and great faith in Christ, that I shall meet many souls spotless at his judgment seat. I have charity for the Jew. I say Jew because I mean them from whence I came. I also have charity for the Gentiles. But behold, for none of these can I hope except they shall be reconciled unto Christ and enter into the narrow gate and walk in the straight path which leads to life and continue in the path until the end of the day of probation. And now, my beloved brethren, and also Jew and all ye ends of the earth, hearken unto these words and believe in Christ. And if ye believe not in these words, believe in Christ. And if ye shall believe in Christ, ye will believe in these words. For they are the words of Christ, and he hath given them unto me. And they teach all men that they should do good. And if they are not the words of Christ, judge ye. For Christ will show unto you with power and great glory that they are his words at the last day. And you and I shall stand face to face before his bar, and ye shall know that I have been commanded of him to write these things, notwithstanding my weakness. And I pray the Father in the name of Christ that many of us, if not all, may be saved in his kingdom at that great and last day. And now, my beloved brethren, all those who are of the house of Israel, and all ye ends of the earth, I speak unto you as the voice of one crying from the dust, farewell until that great day shall come. We have to live our lives living in prayer. Otherwise, if we can't make time for God, why should he make time for us? He loves each one of us, and he doesn't want to lose any of us. And that's why he gave us these books, these scriptures. He had people record these things for our sake, that we would teach out of them, that we would live by them, learn by them. He taught us the importance of prayer because our cell phones just aren't going to reach far enough. We can't talk to him on the phone. We have to talk to him in our closets. We have to talk to him as we go out in the world. And then he will take it from there, and he will give us the answers to those things which we need to know. He'll give us guidance. He'll give us strength. And if we think that we're weak, it's because of that weakness that we are made strong. So we continue to live in prayer. Thank you.